I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 28, Be Thou an Example. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag, take time for family activity suggestion, or a dinner conversation starter. I hope you've had a chance to check out my post that includes over 100 Come Follow Me online resources. There is a lot of great stuff out there to help you study and teach the gospel. If you haven't, be sure and check out your ultimate Come Follow Me resource guide that you can find on my blog, Melanie's Library, at melanieslibrary.com. Last week, I got back from seeing my first grandbaby. Oh, that was so much fun. Babies are so precious. Then this week, I've been fighting being sick, so I apologize if I still sound a little nasal and if today's episode is a little shorter than normal. Luckily, I have been on the mend. Hopefully, I'll get over it soon. Today's topic is Be Thou an Example. It's one of the principles discussed in Come Follow Me for October 28 through November 3rd. Now, reading this week's set of scripture verses right after listening to General Conference, I really felt drawn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and a little bit of chapter 4. There was a lot of great stuff in these verses that I felt went along with a lot of what was said at conference. Let me start out by reading to you 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and think about if you can see this in today's world. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boaster, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinence. I had to look that one up. That means without self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That is a long yet spot-on list of what we see in today's world. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the proud, the disobedient, the unthankful, without natural affection, false accusers, truce breakers. I mean, all of that you can see in your everyday interactions with others and by just turning on your TV. You know, it's in the news, it's in the TV shows, it's everywhere. And what's sad is that the world is accepting of it as this is just how it is, or it's okay to be this way. I disagree. I think a lot of it, too, in my opinion, comes down to the very first thing Paul says in verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's that instant self-gratification that is so prevalent in today's society. I think just about everything that was listed in those verses could be traced to pure and simple selfishness. It's that pleasing the natural man. It's having that me, me, me mentality, which of course makes sense that that is how man is today, since Satan would love for us to do the opposite of what God teaches. And what does God teach? God teaches us that the two greatest commandments are love God and love your neighbor. It's not love yourself first. It's whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Lovers of self is the opposite of what God teaches, and Satan is deceiving people to think and do just that. It is really sad to me when I meet people who truly believe that they should live their lives for themselves, and that nothing matters except making themselves happy. And they try to convince themselves that they don't need anyone. That is such a sad and lonely and deceiving road to travel. The rest of verse 5 and verse 6 in 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead you captive." That phrase right there, "for of this sort are they which creep into houses." That reminded me of one of my favorite talks this conference, and that was by Elder Bednar and his story of the cheetahs. And I want to share part of it with you here.
I want to describe the characteristics and tactics of two cheetahs. Susan and I watched hunting their prey and relate some of the things we observe to the daily living of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Cheetahs are the fastest land animals on earth and reach running speeds as high as 75 miles an hour. These beautiful animals can accelerate from a standstill position to running as fast as 68 miles per hour in less than 3 seconds. Cheetahs are predators that sneak up on their prey and sprint a short distance to chase and attack. Susan and I spent almost 2 hours watching two cheetahs stalking a large group of topis, Africa's most common and widespread antelopes. The tall, dry grass of the African savanna was golden brown and almost totally obscured the predators as they pursued a group of topis. The cheetahs were separated from each other by approximately 100 yards, but worked in tandem. While one cheetah sat upright in the grass and did not move, the other cheetah crouched low to the ground and slowly crept closer to the unsuspecting topis. Then the cheetah that had been sitting upright disappeared in the grass at exactly the same moment that the other cheetah sat upright. This alternating pattern of one cheetah crouching low and creeping forward while the other cheetah sat upright in the grass continued for a long time. The stealthy subtlety of the strategy was intended to distract and deceive the topis and thereby divert their attention away from the approaching danger. Patiently and steadily, the two cheetahs worked as a team to secure their next meal. Positioned between the large group of topis and the approaching cheetahs were several older and stronger topis standing as sentinels on termite mounds. The enhanced view of the grasslands from the small hills enabled these guardian topis to watch for signs of danger. Then, suddenly, as the cheetahs appeared to be within striking distance, the entire group of topis turned and ran away. I do not know if or how the sentinel topis communicated with the larger group, but somehow a warning was given, and all the topis moved to a place of safety. And what did the cheetahs do next? Without any delay, the two cheetahs resumed their alternating pattern of one cheetah crouching low and creeping forward, while the other cheetah sat upright in the grass. The pattern of pursuit continued. They did not stop. They did not rest or take a break. They were relentless in following their strategy of distraction and diversion.
Isn't that such an interesting story? And if you remember Elder Bednar, he goes on to compare the cheetahs to Satan and the evils of today, pointing out 3 lessons we can learn. 1, beware of evil, beguiling disguises. He compares that to how the cheetahs blend in with the landscape, so they are hard to detect. You know, sometimes evil starts out so subtle that it is hard to detect until it's too late. Number two, stay awake and be alert. He compares that to the topies and how they always have a couple of them on watch. They're watching for the cheetahs. They're the ones on the lookout towers, so to speak. And we need to always be on watch for Satan. And three, understand the intent of the enemy. Cheetah's intent is to kill, and Satan's intent is to make us miserable and not return to our Father in heaven. It's an excellent talk, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes. I highly recommend you and your family studying that talk together. A good question to discuss is, what are we going to do to ensure that we are aware of evil's disguises, that we are staying alert, and that we understand the intent of the enemy? What can we be doing more of or better at? Paul gives us some wise counsel on how to do that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. It reads, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." I really like those verses, telling us to hold on to what we know to be true and remember from whom we have learned them. Know the scriptures. The scriptures are like a school teacher. They will correct us, but they will also instruct us and teach us. This topic of Satan and how he is deceiving goes along perfectly with the previous episode I did, episode 24, The Master of Deception. If you haven't listened to that one, be sure you do. I linked that one to a video of counterfeit products that are found in China and relate it to how Satan tries to deceive us today. But anyways, going on, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to read to you two verses that are not very optimistic at all. Verses 12 and 13, they say, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Wow. Paul tells us how it is. He basically warns us, warning us that all followers of Christ will suffer persecution. Great, huh? Not only that, but evil men are only going to get worse and worse. They will deceive and be deceiving even more and more. Doesn't that sound fun? Not. My husband and I were actually talking about this the other day and how for years, you know, we always heard how it'd get more and more evil in the last days and that even the elect will be deceived. But what we didn't think about at the time was how that could actually include our own family members and friends. I think before, we never really knew anyone personally who was strong in the church and then fell away. But now we are seeing it, and we're seeing it with friends and family, and it breaks our hearts. So many are being deceived, ones you might even be shocked about. But it just proves no one is excluded from the deceptions of the evil one. He tries to creep into our lives exactly how Paul said, and he can go unnoticed if we are not staying awake and alert. Another good question we can ask ourselves is, what can we do when we see a loved one or a close friend struggling? What can we do? The best thing we can do, besides loving them unconditionally, is be an example. 1 Timothy 3:12 says, "Be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Paul was a great example of being an example. He was a great example to all of us. He had so many struggles while preaching the gospel, yet he never wavered. He never said, "Forget this, I've had enough." He stayed strong in the faith. I love his last words to his friend found in 2 Timothy 4:7 when he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Doesn't that just inspire you to do the same? To be able to stand before God and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know what? I think that is actually something we should be saying to ourselves every day. I mean, in today's world, when you agree, I mean, it gets harder and harder to stay on the course. So I propose that if we have survived yet another day and we have done our best, regardless of our imperfections, I think the Lord would agree with us if we were to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I think it's important to acknowledge those small wins, even if it means just making it through another day. There's a quote my kids' seminary teacher shared that I thought was interesting. It's from President Nelson when he recently taught the youth and young adults. And this is what he said, quote, "You are the children whom God chose to be part of his battalion during this great climax in the long-standing battles between good and evil, between truth and error. I would not be surprised if, when the veil is lifted in the next life, we learn that you actually pled with our Heavenly Father to be reserved for now," unquote. Wow. Remember that. This is an exciting time. It's hard, but it's also exciting. Another great quote I love from conference from Sister Alberto when she said, quote, "Don't let your struggles define you, but refine you," unquote. It is my prayer that in the end, when all is said and done, that we each come out victorious in our own personal battles against Satan. Don't give up. Don't be deceived. Be thou an example to those around you. We need more good examples. We need more Pauls. We can do this. We've got this. And I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now a word from one of my affiliates. My affiliates provide the means to keeping my blog and podcast up and running, so I'm grateful to them and to you. I'm sure you've heard of Amazon, the one place you can buy everything. But did you realize that includes great books by church authors and church music, Christian home decor, missionary supplies, and more? I have a whole page dedicated to all the great stuff you can get on Amazon that is church-related, and they are all at great prices with eligible two-day Prime shipping. This works great for those who don't live by a Deseret bookstore and don't want to pay the extra cost of shipping. Be sure and check it out at melanieslibrary.com/Amazon. Now for the Family Home Evening suggestion. But first, let me remind you, if you haven't already, you can go to today's show notes and sign up for my Teach Me Family Home Evening email group, where I send you an easy-to-use Family Home Evening outline each week that goes along with the podcast, making Family Home Evening preparation as simple as possible for you. Simply go to melanieslibrary.com/teachme28 to sign up. For some suggested songs, you could do the hymns Press Forward Saints or When Faith Endures, love that one, or the primary song Dare to Do Right or The Church of Jesus Christ. And then for the scripture, read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. After you read it, discuss examples of these behaviors in today's world. And for the lesson, say how Elder Bednar shared a good analogy of these things that creep into our houses, and play the clip of Bednar's talk. I'll have a link to it in the email, along with the three lessons that he says we can learn from it. And then discuss each of the three lessons and perhaps see if your family can come up with even more lessons that can be learned from the story. And then go on to discuss what we can do when we see a loved one or a close friend struggling, and share 1 Timothy 3:12, where it talks about being an example, and talk about the importance of loving them unconditionally, but also the importance of being a good example so that they can see the happiness and peace you experience from living the gospel. And then for an activity, share the last words that Paul shared with a good friend of his, knowing that he'd probably never see him again. His last words being, you know, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith." And ask, what would your last words be to someone if you knew you would never see them again in this life? What advice or testimony would you give them? And then have everyone write a letter and encourage them to keep it in their journals or a safe place and to read it. One day when they are struggling, it might help them. And there's actually a song I really liked. It's called The Words I Would Say. It's by Sidewalk Prophets. The first verse and chorus, it goes like this.
Three in the morning and I'm still awake, so I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I tell you just what you mean to me, tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say.
Love that song. You may listen to that before or while everyone writes their letters. And as always, follow the Spirit as you do Family Home Evening. You'll know what your family needs to learn and talk about. All right, on to a teaching tip. Today's teaching tip, I want to touch on ways to prepare for giving a talk in sacrament meeting. The number one and most important that I cannot stress enough is start writing your talk as soon as you receive the assignment to give it. Even Elder Holland has said, quote, "May I encourage you to start thinking about and planning early for any talk that you are to give," unquote. Preparing early will give you more time to receive insights and inspiration, I promise you. Which leads me to number two, which is teach by the Spirit, which means to also prepare by the Spirit. Ask God to enlighten your mind so you can understand what you are to speak about and how best to present the information. Three, start by doing what I call a brain dump. You take all your thoughts and you just put them all out on paper. Then take them and organize them in some sort of outline, putting alike thoughts together. Don't spend all your time focusing on finding a funny remark or something clever to begin with. Save that for last, or don't worry about it at all. Rule of thumb is to always start with an attention getter, but that doesn't have to be a joke. It could be an inspiring quote or a short story. What you need to be sure and include is doctrine related to your topic. Use scriptures and liken the scriptures to everyday life. And if possible, include a faith-promoting experience, one from your own personal life, preferably, but if not, one from someone else's life is fine too. And four, speak from the heart. One of the pros of having an outline of your talk is with an outline, it does help free you up to be able to adapt if the Holy Ghost prompts you to say something while you're up there. But if you're one that gets super nervous when you're up there and your brain goes completely blank when you see all those eyes staring back at you, it's okay to have your talk all written out. But the key is to make sure that you know your talk really well. If you know it really well, then it gives you more confidence. And believe it or not, you can still ad-lib something if you feel inspired to while you're up there. You know your talk good enough that you can then go back to where you left off and always end with a heartfelt testimony. All right, last but not least, take time for family. The two most important ways to build family relationships is through one, spending time together, and two, conversation. It's fall. Have you been apple picking yet? If not, it makes for the perfect family activity. And then my favorite part is coming home and making some hot, delicious apple crisp with vanilla ice cream on top. Doesn't that sound good? I'll have a link to a simple and yummy recipe in the show notes. Have fun. And remember, take time and enjoy your family. That's all for today. Thanks for listening and enduring my raspy throat. Hopefully I'll be all better by next week. You know, if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And I'd love it if you'd leave me a review on iTunes. Have yourself a great rest of the week and I'll talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.